News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. As outrage over the alleged gang rape and murder of a 50-year-old woman in Uttar Pradesh's Badayun grows, the district magistrate has said the administration would try to charge the accused under stringent provisions of the National Security Act. Badayun District Magistrate Prashant Kumar told news agency ANI that two people have been arrested in the case and a team has been constituted to look into the arrest of the other accused person. "We believe this incident is fit to be presented to the NSA for a probe, and we will do that," he said. According to police, the 50-year-old woman, who was an Anganwadi worker, was gang-raped and murdered when she had gone to a temple on Sunday evening. The incident was reported from the Ughaiti police station area in Badayun district. Meanwhile, the National Commission for Women took cognizance of the matter and said it will meet the woman's family. The commission also sought immediate intervention of the UP police in the matter. The family of the deceased has alleged police apathy for the delay caused in filing the FIR in the case. The commission, in a statement, said it is deeply perturbed by the reported incident and the alleged police apathy. NCW chairperson Rekha Sharma wrote to the Director General of Police, Uttar Pradesh, seeking immediate intervention in the matter. The commission has also sought a detailed action taken report in the matter from the police. Badayun's senior superintendent of police, Sankalp Sharma, said two of the accused were arrested on Tuesday, while the priest is on the run and the station house officer of Ughaiti police station has been suspended for laxity in the case. On Sunday, the 50-year-old woman who had gone to a temple was found dead under mysterious circumstances. Family members of the woman have accused the temple priest Satya Narayan and his aides of raping and murdering her. Based on this, a case was registered against the accused. Two of the accused persons were arrested on Tuesday night while the priest is still absconding, Sharma said. The post-mortem report confirms rape and there are injuries in the victim's private parts and a fracture in the leg, he said. Four teams have been formed to track Satyanarayan. The state police have drawn criticism over the incident, with Ranjana Kumari, the director of Center for Social Research, asking the authorities to take responsibility of the incident. "First thing the UP police does is dismissing any case as a minor one. It will not file the FIR. The state administration must take responsibility for this issue," Kumari was quoted as saying to NDTV. Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath directed authorities to take the strongest legal action against the accused and instructed ADG Zone Bareilly to submit a report. The Chief Minister also instructed the UP Special Task Force to assist in the investigation. Opposition parties hit out at the Yogi Adityanath government on the issue. Congress leader Priyanka Gandhi raised the question on the intention of the government and tweeted, "The government people in Hathras did not listen to the complaint in the beginning. The government saved the officers and suppressed the voice. The police station in Badayun did not listen to the complainant, did not even visit the scene of the incident. The UP government's intent on women's safety is flawed. The gruesome incident is shocking." Meanwhile, Samajwadi Party chief Akhilesh Yadav tweeted, "The gruesome incident reported from Badayun, where a post-mortem report suggests gruesome cruelty, is shocking. BJP government should not try to save the culprits and should ensure justice for the deceased and her family." The BSP Supremo Mayawati also tweeted on the incident and wrote, "The incident of gang rape and murder of a woman in Badayun is very sad and extremely condemnable. The state government should take this incident seriously and also ensure strict punishment to the culprits so that such incident does not recur. This is the demand of BSP." The Supreme Court on Wednesday agreed to examine the controversial new laws of Uttar Pradesh and Uttarakhand regulating religious conversions due to interfaith marriages. A bench headed by Chief Justice S.A. Bobde refused, however, to stay the controversial provisions of the laws and issued notices to both state governments on two different petitions. The pleas filed by Advocate Vishal Thackeray and others and an NGO, Citizen for Justice and Peace, have challenged the constitutional validity of the Uttar Pradesh Prohibition of Unlawful Religious Conversion Ordinance 2020 and the Uttarakhand Freedom of Religious Act 2018, which regulate religious conversions of interfaith marriages. At the outset, the top court asked the petitioners to approach the Allahabad High Court after Solicitor General Tushar Mehta said that it is already seized of the matter. The bench said that this is not the transfer petition where it can transfer to itself all the cases on the law, after one of the petitioners said that the issue should be examined by the top court. Senior advocate C.U. Singh, appearing for the NGO, referred to the judgment of Justice retired Deepak Gupta and said that similar laws are being made in various states. Singh added that some of the provisions of these laws are oppressive and horrible in nature and require prior consent of government to marry, which is absolutely obnoxious. The bench said that it is issuing a notice and sought response from both the state governments within 4 weeks. When Singh insisted for a stay of provisions, the CJI said that now stay is sought on some provisions without hearing the states. How can it be done? The bench asked. Right-wing groups use the term love jihad to describe Muslim men allegedly forcibly converting women of other religions under the guise of love. India's tobacco industry will object to a proposal to ban smoking zones in hotels and prohibit advertising at cigarette kiosks as the government steps up anti-smoking efforts, two executives said on Wednesday. India has over the years introduced tobacco controls and launched campaigns to deter its use, but enforcement of the law has been a challenge. The World Health Organization says nearly 1.35 million people die each year in India due to tobacco use. India released draft changes to its tobacco control law over the weekend to ban smoking zones in hotels, restaurants, and airports. The proposal also calls for increasing the minimum legal smoking age from 18 to 21. If implemented, the plan is seen hitting sales of companies such as ITC, Godfrey Phillips India, and a unit of Philip Morris International, which operate in the country's $12 billion cigarette market, executives said. Some of the measures are very extreme and problematic, said one tobacco industry executive, who added companies will raise concerns before the public consultation period of the proposal ends on January 31. The second executive said concerns around the impact on employment and how farmers could be affected will also be shared with the government. The draft changes have also tightened existing provisions to ban advertising at kiosks and prohibit sale of loose cigarette sticks, which form the bulk of the sales, health activists said. It is a much-needed proposal as there were some gaps previously. The key is going to be enforcement of the law once passed, said Sanjay Seth, head of tobacco control at non-profit Sambandh Health Foundation. India had proposed sweeping changes to its tobacco control law in 2015 as well, but the proposal was dropped following protests from the tobacco industry. And a violent mob loyal to President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday and forced lawmakers into hiding in a stunning attempt to overturn America's presidential election, undercut the nation's democracy, and keep Democrat Joe Biden from replacing Trump in the White House. The nation's elected representatives scrambled to crouch under desks and don gas masks while police futilely tried to barricade the building, one of the most jarring scenes ever to unfold in a seat of American political power. A woman was shot and killed inside the Capitol, and Washington's mayor instituted an evening curfew in an attempt to contain the violence. The rioters were egged on by Trump, who has spent weeks falsely attacking the integrity of the election and had urged his supporters to descend on Washington on Wednesday to protest Congress's formal approval of Biden's victory. Some Republican lawmakers were in the midst of raising objections to the results on his behalf when the proceedings were abruptly halted by the mob. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said lawmakers were resuming the counting of electoral votes on Wednesday evening after the Capitol was cleared of the pro-Trump occupiers. The president gave his supporters an added boost on Wednesday morning during an appearance at a rally outside the White House, where he urged them to march to the Capitol. He spent much of the afternoon in his private dining room of the Oval Office watching scenes of the violence on television. At the urging of his staff, he reluctantly issued a pair of tweets and a taped video telling his supporters it was time to go home in peace, yet he still said he backed their cause. Hours later, Twitter, for the first time, blocked Trump's account, demanded that he remove tweets excusing violence, and threatened permanent suspension. A somber President-elect Biden 2 weeks away from being inaugurated, said American democracy was under unprecedented assault, a sentiment echoed by many in Congress, including some Republicans. Former President George W. Bush said he watched the events in disbelief and dismay. What happened here today was an insurrection incited by the President of the United States, said Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.